Thank you, Linda, Angie, and Tom, for your ministry of music. Thank you as a grandmother, mother, and son, praising the Lord. It's neat to see the generations as a family praising our Lord. A fairly well-known adage that we'll begin with is, it's better to give than to receive. It's better to give than to receive, and I wonder this evening if we really believe such a thing. I wonder if we actually live by this, as it can be so enthralling to make more and more. It feels so good to receive an unexpected gift. It is so pleasing to have a large sum of money given to you. But what about giving up some of your hard-earned money? What about giving gifts to others from the money that you've saved up? What about sharing what you have with someone else? What about giving to the church out of the little that you have? What about helping someone who is in need financially with the money that you planned on spending in another way, spending it on yourself? This evening, we're going to be dealing with the last portion of the giving section in the letter of 2 Corinthians, and it begins with a verse that may definitely make us perk up. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says this, and it begins our text, and says, the point is this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If you look at this verse at a surface level, we might begin to question, we might begin to wonder, is this verse a biblical investment method? Is verse 6 actually a way to get rich quick? Especially as we look at the tail end, is Paul sharing with the Corinthian church and us how we can get more wealthy tonight? Is the prosperity gospel actually true? In verse 6, an agricultural image is used, sowing and planting seed. It's really a pretty simple verse. The less seed that is sown will result in less of a harvest, result in less of a crop. But the more seed that is sown, the more seed that is planted, there will be a much greater harvest. And this is being applied in our text to giving. But there's more than immediately meets the eye. In 2 Corinthians 9:5, the text right before ours, or the verse right before ours, Paul says this in verse 5. He says, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised. And then he says, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. A willing gift here. I might need new batteries for the clicker. It's acting up. If you could go to the next slide. There we go. See if you can follow along with me. The willing gift here in verse 5 is literally, that part that is in the green, is literally, it means a blessing. That is the literal translation here, a blessing. And Paul is speaking of what a blessing they could be to others with their money as they come around or as he sends those to receive this collection. Additionally, the next word is an exaction, which literally is speaking of them acting out of greed. It speaks of coveting, wanting what isn't theirs. This money had already been promised to, or been promised from the Corinthian church, and they were to give, or that they were to give, and they may want to keep what they should give, or what they've already committed to give. And what I want to point out right now is that the Greek word that is translated a willing gift there in the green, that I said literally means blessing. As we flip back to verse 6, it says again, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully. Bountifully is the same word as that willing gift. It is speaking of a blessing. So you could put in there, with blessing. Whoever sows with blessing will also reap bountifully or with blessing. So, as we think about verse 6 now with that additional meaning, as it speaks of blessing, bountifully, with blessing, is our passage this evening showing how we can have a blessed life? Is Paul really commending, as we think about verse 6, is Paul really commending the practice of giving a large sum to the church, and then you will be given more wealth in turn? Have we just hit the jackpot of a passage literally? Tonight from 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah, you're probably going to need to get your Bibles out, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15, our theme is going to be this. It might be the clicker itself, so give that a shot. But get out your Bibles just in case that doesn't work. But 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15, our theme will be, we can be a blessing and we will be blessed through our generous giving. Our theme for this text is, we can be a blessing and we will be blessed through our generous giving. There we go. It seems like it's working. So there we go. That is our theme. We can be a blessing and we will be blessed through our generous giving. And the first thing we're going to consider as we think about this text and really move into the next verse now off of verse 6 to verse 7, we're going to consider, what does this blessed giving look like? 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This next verse, as it talks about this blessed giving, is showing how we should give, in what manner we should give. And the main answer comes actually at the very end. And it says, concerning the spirit in which we give, for God loves a cheerful giver. So what should dictate our giving? Who should determine how we give in this way? This verse makes it very clear as we consider verse 7 at the very end. Makes it very clear the one we are giving, it's not us, it's not the one we're given to, but it is God who dictates our giving. We're told in verse 7 that God has a great affection for the one who cheerfully gives, the one who is full of cheer, who is full of gladness as they give away their money. We saw such an example of this gladness at the very beginning of this section. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 2, we got this example, and it said, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. So they had plenty of joy, an abundance of joy as they gave in this way, which is the unnatural way of giving, or the unnatural response to having to depart from some of your money is not joy, but it would be being downcast, sad that you have to lose some of your money, but the call is joy, gladness. Part of this blessed giving is deciding what one will give. As it begins and says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. So this giving that this text is talking about, this blessed giving, is we decide how much we're going to give. We decide how much we can give at the time, and we do so in a happy manner. The Word of God shows here that we are to do so willingly, voluntarily. We are to give up the money we have earned and been gifted joyfully. That's what this giving looks like and what God desires from us as we give our tithes, our offerings, as we give to others. But verse 7 also shows us what it shouldn't look like. What it shouldn't look like is, Paul says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly. So God doesn't just want us to give. God doesn't just want us to give. Giving, but we're not happy about it. We're pained to be separated from our money. You don't really want to. You're sad to see your money lost in this way. That's not how we're to give. And further and related, we find what this isn't to look like and what the motive shouldn't be in verse 7, as Paul says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You do it because you know it should be done. You give because of outside pressures, but you're not excited about it. You don't desire to do it. If it was left completely up to you, you wouldn't be giving. This also isn't the type of giving being referred to here. In this giving that is a blessing and brings blessing to you, God calls us, as we consider verse 7, God calls us to give of our money merrily, wanting to, desiring to give for the Lord's purposes, joyfully wanting to help others out, putting the money in the plate with no regrets, setting up regular giving on Planning Center because we want to. And as we consider this first point in the spirit in which this giving is to happen, as we consider even verse 6, which we began with, and receiving a blessing, we could certainly see how we would give cheerfully if we believe we are going to be receiving such a blessing back. It isn't hard to do something when we know we will be rewarded, especially if we think this passage is talking about a monetary reward. And that's where we move to the second point, move on to the next couple of verses, and we consider now, how is this blessed giving possible? And we find this in verses 8 through 11, the repeated theme that is struck, and that is that it is God who provides. God gives so that we can give in this way. God gives so that we can be a blessing and are blessed. So, as we think about this next point, we might look at our bank accounts. You might consider all that you have to pay for and wonder, how could I ever give? And here Paul, over and over, shows God provides so that such giving can happen. And there are several things. We'll begin with verse 8. There are several things in verse 8 that I want to point out that bring out this point of God's provision. And the first one is the word all that is repeated over and over again in verse 8. Paul says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every or all good work." In verse 8, Paul is talking about their giving. Paul is stressing that all that we have comes from God. That is the point he's trying to make here. All that we have, all of our material things, all of the money we are given, all the things that we have comes from God. We're going to look at this word sufficiency that's found in the middle there of verse 8 a little further in the moment, but Paul is further saying here that God will provide for them so that they are able to give. No matter how things look, no matter how little they have, God gives them everything they need so that they can be a blessing and so that they will be blessed. The second thing I want to point out is this word sufficiency. And this word sufficiency in the Greek is a very interesting word, as it was often used by the world to speak of self-sufficiency, providing for oneself, supporting oneself. And here Paul is seeking to make the point with this word sufficiency in the context. He's trying to make the complete opposite point, to say you're not self-sufficient, but they are sufficient only because of God, that we are not self-made people, but God has given us all that we have and has provided so that we can do what we do. Verse 10 further shows God's part. Verse 10 says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing." So Paul comes back to this agricultural illustration that he began with in verse 6, and he applies it saying that God will give to us so that we can give. He will supply, he will multiply. And then verse 11, missing the reference up there, but verse 11, 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way." God will give us plenty, this verse is bringing out. He will make us rich. As we consider these first two points, it's time to be done being vague, as I've been holding back some of the points and haven't been alluding to all of the verses here. I've resisted fully bringing out the meaning as we consider verse 6 in our passage, and you can see how some would take this passage, how some would look at this passage and walk away with a very different meaning, thinking this passage teaches us that God means for us to become wealthy through our generous giving, that we can receive material blessing, financial blessings from serving the Lord. And that's where we need to turn now to our third and our final section, where we look at the rest of our passage and our passage a lot more fully. And that is the question, what does this blessed giving result in? And you can see a first answer up there, but there will be several. So go back to that key verse. In light of verse 6, if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. Or if we sow with blessing, we will reap with blessing. And again, we have to ask the question, what is this blessing? It could seem like it's riches. It could seem like it's wealth. What do we have to look forward to when we give in such a way? And I want to begin by saying, as we think about this bounty, this blessing that verse 6 began with, and as we consider what we've already covered, this blessing or this bounty isn't unlimited riches. This blessing this passage is talking about isn't prosperity, it isn't material or financial at all, but this blessing is for the sake of others, for God's glory, and it is giving you the privilege of being used for the purposes of God. This is the blessing that comes from the giving that Paul is talking about. As you give bountifully, as you give with blessing, these are the ways we're blessed: helping others, bringing praise to the name of God, and getting to be part of the work of God's grace. Shouldn't be a letdown for us. Shouldn't be a letdown as we consider such results and even what it means to be a Christian. So we turn to this question: what does this blessed giving result in? And the first answer we're going to consider is this: helping other Christians and a bond with other Christians. Okay, this is what has been considered all throughout this giving section. We've talked about the relief of the saints, the collection that's been taken up, that it is for other Christians, other churches, and other places in the world. But we see our text brings us to such an answer, or highlights such an answer. In 2 Corinthians 9:12, Paul says, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints." Okay, so this isn't the main result, as you can even tell from how this verse is phrased, but one of the results is this is to help the saints. This is to help other Christians. It's certainly a part of it. We are giving in this way to help others, seeing people help, seeing those struggling financially being provided for. And further, such giving strengthens our relationships with other Christians, as we find here in verses 13 and 14. Paul continues on and says, "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others." And then he says, "While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you." So an affection is spoken of here for those that would be helped. It would bring about a relationship between the church of Corinth and these other churches. These other churches would pray for them even though they never met. So as we consider this first result, this helping of other Christians, this bond, our giving to, as we give to the church, helps those in need. As the board of deacons becomes aware of a financial need, they consider them, they look into them, and they may help them. As we come together as a church and we give together, as we think about this bond that is created, there is a unity. As we help each other out, there's a as we participate in this giving, there's a closeness, there's a strengthening as we come together with our money to serve the Lord's purposes, to serve each other, a bond can be formed. The second result, or the second blessing for us, we find scattered throughout verses 11 through 13, and that is this gratitude to God. Gratitude to God comes from this blessed giving, our giving cheerfully, our giving willingly of our finances for the Lord's purposes. It brings praise and thanks to God. And we can see this all throughout verses 11 through 13, if you follow along with me. It says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others." God's the ultimate goal of our giving. Our giving isn't an end or isn't to end in us receiving the praise and the glory. Our giving is not meant to put us up on a pedestal. But it's God who is put up on a pedestal. It's God who gets the credit. It's God who is praised and thanked rather than us. And that is what is brought out in such a text, as we see it drilled home three times here. Produce thanksgiving, overflow with thanksgiving, and glorifying God. And as we consider verses 6 through 15 as a whole, God is central in these verses. If we compare these to even the other verses of this section, we see God repeated all throughout. God is the common theme of this section. God has an intricate and very involved place in our giving. So you think back to verse 7. He is the motivator. He is the determiner for our giving. As we consider his love for the one who cheerfully gives. It's not us. It's not someone over us or the person we're considering giving. But it's God who determines or who is the motivator to give in such a way. We also have considered he's the provider. He's the one, as we considered this evening, who has given us all that we have in the first place to be able to give in this way. And then now third, he is the one who deserves the credit. As we don't have what we have because of our own doing, because of our own hard work, but it is because God has given it to us. So as we consider this second result, and that God deserves all the praise and glory in our giving, this should factor in, or this should dictate how we give. Depending on how you give, it will determine if you or God gets the credit from others. We should give it in a way that all eyes are on God rather than us. As we are helped, we should certainly thank those who have given to us, but it's God who we should praise. As we come up on local conference in July, or even as we just consider week in and week out, as we see the offerings that are given in the bulletin, may we remember to give God the praise for providing for us in such a way. Now we come to the third result. What does this blessed giving look like? And this finally addresses really directly us personally. What we personally reap as we give, and it is we have God's grace upon us being used by God to live a lifestyle of continuous giving. We have God's grace upon us being used by God to live a lifestyle of continuous giving. Okay, this is really the point that is touched upon in all of these verses. So I'm going to go back through some. I'm going to touch on some that we haven't dealt with, which is the first one we'll begin with. In verse 9, Paul actually quotes the Old Testament, and he says this, "As it is written, he is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." Okay, verse 9 is actually talking about God. Okay, it's referring to God speaking of his generous giving, and actually in the context of this passage, it's speaking of how God gives through us, which we also see in verse 10. We already looked at half of verse 10, but the rest of verse 10, it says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing," and then it says, "and increase the harvest of your righteousness." God's supplying. He has given us all that we ultimately need to give, or what we can give. And this ultimately results in us living righteously. And in the context of this passage, it is giving. That is what this righteousness especially is speaking of. A harvest of giving. Being able to give more and more. Helping more and more. Using our money for the Lord's purposes. More and more is this harvest that is created from God and what he has given. And then the first part of 2 Corinthians 9:11, it says, the fuller portion says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." So God will make you rich. He will give to you so that you can be continuously generous, is what this passage is talking about. So the blessing for you, blessing for us from this passage, isn't that we'll be able to stockpile and accumulate more and more wealth for ourselves, but that what we have that is given by God will be given out. It will allow for you to be more and more generous, giving up more and more of what we own. This will develop a mentality of generosity, wanting to help out more and more. That is what this passage is commending. And as we consider this passage, and even especially as you consider the verse that's up on the screen, as we consider this passage and when we hear of such things, we may think to ourselves that we have to reach a certain amount till we can give. Okay, that we need to have this much money in our bank accounts and then we can give. We need to make a certain amount of year or each year and then we can give, and then we'll be at the point that where we can actually start giving it away. But I want us to think back, and even as you think about what it means to be enriched, what it means to be made rich, I want us to think back to the example and look at the example of the Macedonians and think about their financial situation as they gave. In 2 Corinthians 8:1-5, Paul had said, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy in their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. The Macedonians, they were dirt poor, and yet they were incredibly giving. They didn't have what we would think of as abundance, and yet they were able to give. God gave them enough to give, which shows that it could be out of very little that we give. God has given us enough to be able to give. The promise of this passage, as we think about one of the things that we can draw from this passage, the promise of this passage is that God has provided for our needs. He has given you what you need, and further, more to the point of this passage, further, he has given you what you need to be able to give. So if we say we cannot give, if we say we don't have enough, then we're calling into question God's provision. We aren't waiting for such provision, but the Word of God makes clear we have such provision. This passage shows that we always have enough to give. And as we consider this third result, we look back at 2 Corinthians 9:8. It speaks of the grace of God, which this really will round out our study as well. It says this in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." This grace that God makes us abound in, or gives us plenty of, it's the ability to give. Okay, that's what this grace is. As the verse finished out and said, "You may abound in every good work." It is the good work of giving that's being talked about, being benevolent with your money that Paul is talking about. And this word grace is used towards the end of our passage as well. Paul had said in 2 Corinthians 9:13 through 14, "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you." If they give in this way, what Paul is saying is that it will show God's extraordinary grace, going above and beyond what we might expect or to a normal degree. God has worked so that they would be so giving, that they would be so helpful, that they would be so willing to serve the purposes of God with their money, is what this surpassing grace speaks of. So as we think about God's grace in our lives, we might especially think about it as when he saves us. He has showed his undeserved favor to us. He has saved, we have been saved by his grace. But an additional aspect, or actually there's many aspects of this grace, but one of them we find in this passage is in our giving. That God's grace is at work in us so that as he is gracious to us, we can be gracious to others. That we would be willing to part from our money for God's purposes. And as we think about this grace, as we think about the salvation and God's grace at work in our lives, I believe this is why Paul closes our passage by saying in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he puts an exclamation mark on this text, this giving section, and says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Is this the gift that Paul is collecting for the churches that's being talked about here in verse 15? Is this what the Corinthians would actually give? No. What this inexpressible gift is it's Jesus. This word inexpressible here in the Greek seems to be a word that Paul actually made up. It isn't found anywhere else before this writing, and it seems Paul couldn't find a word that described God's gift of grace well enough to bring this out. God's giving of Jesus to describe the incredible grace or the incredible nature of his giving, to explain how utterly amazing it is. So he made up a word, this inexpressible gift. And Paul spoke of God's giving example, this inexpressible gift in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. He had said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty might become rich. How God is calling us to give as we think about this section. How God is using us to give isn't foreign to him. It isn't something that he's inexperienced in, but he has given to the highest degree. He's given to the highest degree by giving himself. This is what has allowed for his grace to be shown to us as we think about this word grace that we've seen in our text, so that we could give. So God is a giving God, and he desires for us to be a giving people. God has shown his grace to us so that we would turn to show grace to others. God has given to us so that we would give to others. This is what we see from this passage, and really 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, from this grace that God has given us. Kent Hughes, in his commentary on this text, he puts this all together well when he says, what we must understand from this is that Paul's call to be ready, willing, generous giving is not a call to reach down within our beings and rise to the best that is within us. Rather, it is a call to authentically come to Christ in true belief and repentance. It is a call to contemplate Christ's giving as the example for our giving, his embrace of poverty that we might become rich. It is not a call to legalistic observance, but to grace, as Paul's repeated mentions of grace emphasize. The grace of God, the favor, literally grace of taking part in the relief. Complete among you this act of grace. Excel in this act of grace, for you know the grace. As we carry out this act of grace, God is able to make all grace abound to you, and then the surpassing grace of God. It is a call to rise to his best within us. It is not a call to save ourselves, but to demonstrate by our giving that our faith is not in vain. There is no such thing as a Christian Scrooge. Christians give. Generous giving is the province of a regenerate heart. So this passage is really teaching the opposite of the prosperity gospel. Rather than giving to accumulate wealth for yourself, this giving is something that is others-focused, is God-focused. It is giving to be able to keep on giving. The blessing is being used by God to keep on giving out. That's how we bless, and that's how we are blessed in our giving. So out of such a passage, and really the whole of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we must realize that giving is a part of the Christian life. It is one way that God works in us through his grace. Second, God has provided all that we need to give. Third, our giving is not to be a one-time gift, but it is a consistent, regular practice in the Christian life. God has so chosen to use us to help others and further his purposes through his church by the giving of our money. And then lastly, this giving is to be done voluntarily and joyfully. So as we close and as you consider such giving, as you consider being a blessing and being blessed out of such a text, rather than possibly making you feel guilty concerning your giving in the past, let's close an application by thinking of the future. Thinking in light of this passage, what could God do through us collectively? What could God do through our giving for his plans and his purposes? How might his name be praised as we give in the future? How might his will be accomplished through our church as we give out of the excess that we have? How might people be helped through your weekly normal giving? How much more ministry could be done as we come together with our finances? Let's dream, pray big as we consider God's grace in the giving done among us and through us. Let's consider what we can give for the Lord's purposes through his grace. Let's pray that he would show his grace to us as a church in such a way to use our money, use our incomes, use our savings for him. Let's pray to such an end. Lord, we thank you for these two chapters that we've dealt with over these last couple of months of 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 9. And Lord, they deal with a topic that is one that can certainly be abused, even as we thought about this evening. One that people could be pressured into, one that even false teaching is rampant, for the church to grow rich, for people to desire to be rich on this earth. But Lord, as we consider the money that we have, even as we thought about this evening and teaching our children that all that we have comes from you, that you are the one who has provided for us, you are the one who provides all that we need, all that we have. And Lord, I pray that this evening we would see how, along with many things, giving is even a Christian duty. It's something that we are called to do. It's something that the gospel, ultimately you, brings out in the Christian's life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we consider the money that we have to use it for your purposes, use it for each other, use it for those that in need. Lord, I pray that you would give us real wisdom. Give us a sacrificial spirit. Give us just a desire to give in such a way as, Lord, even as we began with it, it can feel really good to receive. It can feel really good to continue to collect and collect. But Lord, you ultimately call us to give as you gave your Son for us and set the ultimate example, even as this text brought out this inexpressible, indescribable, incredible gift. Lord, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and Lord, I pray that you would give us such a giving spirit as a church. Lord, we thank you for these passages, these hard passages, and Lord, we ultimately pray that you would strengthen us and give us the power to be able to follow them. And in your name I pray, amen. Thank you for joining us on this summer evening, and you are dismissed.